Magandang umaga po sa lahat. Welcome po sa Crossroads Church, Dubai. Ako po si James Brillantes at naglilingkod bilang isa sa mga pastor sa iglesyang ito. I hope po na last week atin po na i-apply ang mga tinutunan, especially sa preaching and equipping classes natin from last week. Nawa po ay naging tapat tayo sa pag-apply nito sa ating mga buhay bilang mga Kristiyano. As mentioned last week, tayo po ay nasa aklat ng Psalm. Nag-aaral po tayo. Ito po yung inaaral natin ngayon o tinatawag natin na Summer in the Psalms. And today, yung passage po natin ay magagaling sa ikalawang aklat ng Salmo o mga awit. Ang Psalm po ay nahati sa limang bahagi o sa limang aklat. Nung nakaraang linggo, Pastor John preached Psalm 23, which is part ng Book 1. Book 1 po is covers yung Chapter 1 or actually Chapter 3 up to 41. And Book 2 is 42 to 72. Book 3, 73 to 89. And Book 4 po naman is 90 to 106. And yung Book 5 is 107 to 149. Ito po yung mga books kung saan makikita po ninyo kung may sermon cards kayo. Diyan po manggagaling yung bawat sermon sa mga awit na ating maririnig this coming weeks or Sundays. Ang passage po natin, tulad na sabi ko, ay bahagi ng ikalawang aklat. Unlike po sa Book 1, ang Book 2 have several authors, which includes yung Sons of Korah. Kung makikita ninyo at the beginning of Book 2, makikita ninyo, mapapansin ninyo kaagad yung transition. So, pag nabasa ninyo na Sons of Korah, it gives us, it hints us na that's the beginning of Book 2. Kabilang din po sa mga author ng Book 2 is si Asaph. Dominantly, yung Book 2 was written by or composed by King David, and it ends with King Solomon. Ang Book 2 po ay mostly dominated ng Psalm of Lament or yung disaster. But, it has a tone ng isang with confidence sa kanyang Diyos. Makikita po natin na yung Psalm 56 and 57 is a companion psalm. Kung intindihin po natin, kung babasahin po natin yung dalawang aklat na ito, it has the same or it addresses the same enemy or the same theme. Which address yung mga vicious enemy ni David. Makikita po natin sa superscription that David is, in Psalm 57, is fleeing sa kanyang kaaway na si Saul. And possibly hiding during that time sa isa sa mga caves na na-mention sa 1 Samuel 22 verse 1 or nasa 25 verse 1 to 5, which is yung cave of Adullam or Engedi. Fear. Mga kaibigan, ano ba ang mga kinakatakutan natin? Ano ang mga kinakatakutan mo ngayon? Ano ang dahilan kung bakit you sleep? Hindi ka nakakatulog. Ito ba ay ang idea of losing a loved one? Or the idea of death? It is the idea of losing your job, yung security mo sa trabaho, or yung troubled marriage. Perhaps dealing with a troubled child. Is it fear of rejection, fear of man, or consequence of sin? Whatever it is, we know na natural na response natin sa takot is to hide, to flight or fight. Perhaps, naalala po natin ang event sa may garden kung saan before sin came in, man has a perfect fellowship with his creator, with God, with Yahweh. He has even perfect fellowship with his fellow men, Adam and Eve, and even sa mga animals. But after sin came in, man feels shame, felt fear. He hide. flight from God, even fight by resisting to admit yung kanyang kasalanan, kundi nagturo siya. When the Bible speaks of fear, it talks about two kinds of fear, or two types of fear. Yung unang fear po na sinasabi sa Biblia is a kind of fear that sees God as the object of your worship. It is a reverential fear. And the other kind of fear na sinasabi ng Biblia is called a kind of fear that we are called to overcome. And parati, it is connected sa pananalig natin or having trust sa ating Panginoon. And by looking sa passage natin, ang context po nito, it is an element of fear. David is fleeing and hiding. Kung titingnan po natin, mga kapatid, if we are not careful in dealing with fear, and if we will remain in fear, fear can kill our confidence in Diyos. Fear can kill our trust. It can kill our worship. And if that happens, we will be resolved to look into other sources, sources of joy, sources of confidence, and we will end up worshiping them. Psalm 57 po will help us through his experiences with David how to fight fear and fight confidence sa steadfast love or covenantal love and faithfulness ng ating Diyos in the midst of darkest and greatest conflicts ng ating buhay. If you are writing, ang ating main idea po sa umagang ito is this. In life's greatest conflicts, take refuge in God's steadfast love and faithfulness through faith, prayer, and worship. In life's greatest conflicts, take refuge in God's steadfast love and faithfulness through faith, prayer, and worship. And I have divided this into two points. Una po, in verses 1 to 5, we'll talk about taking refuge in God through prayer. And verses 6 to 11, let your heart be steadfast in God through faith and worship. Let's go to our point number 1. Take refuge in God through prayer. Marahil po, kung kayo ay regular or member sa iglesia ng ito, marahil parati ninyong naririnig, when we define prayer as an act of dependence and faith sa ating Diyos. It's an act of faith and dependence sa ating Diyos. Si John Onwuchekwawa, in his book Prayer, using metaphor ng breathing to give the underlying importance ng panalangin. At ang sabi niya, and I quote, "To be Christian without prayer is no more impossible than to live without breathing." And alam ko po that we pray for a variety of reasons. And yung Psalm 57, verse 1, David will tell us or give us yung reason niya why he prayed to God. Let's read verse 1. Sabi po dito, "Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me." Pansin po natin that David begins his prayer with a plea for mercy. Tulad din ito, mapapansin ninyo going back one chapter, Psalm 56, yung sabi niya doon, "Be gracious to me, O God, for man tramples me." Yung salitang gracious na ginamit niya in 56 and yung be merciful in verse 57 implies the same thing. Pinapakita ni David yung sitwasyon niya at yung kailangan niya sa sitwasyon na iyon. At ang paulit-ulit niya paggamit ng be merciful implies yung pangangailangan niya ng habag ng ating Diyos. At ang rason kung bakit ito yung naging panalangin niya, because of yung palapit na presensya ng kanyang mga kaaway. Psalm 56, David felt trampled. He's bruised. He's isolated in the deepest and darkest portion ng kanyang buhay sa kuweba. And the same thing in Psalm 57 is in the midst the darkest portion ng sa kuweba sa mga panahong ito. Kung atin po mapapansin yung literary construction niya, may kita po ninyo, sabi niya, be merciful to me. On the other side, be merciful to me. And may kita natin kung ano yung nasa sentro. It tells us na sa mga panahon na kung saan si David is in the deepest and in the darkest moment na kanyang buhay, his greatest need is God. His greatest need is God. It reveals kung ano ang priority ni David at time. David understands na kung meron man siyang kailangan in the deepest and darkest moment ng kanyang buhay, it is not the salvation from the heart, from the hot pursuit ng kanyang mga kaaway, but his greatest need is God. Because if God is going to save him, it is based on God's mercy sa kanyang buhay and not according to his own rights. Mga kaibigan, salvation for David in this darkest hour ng kanyang buhay is mercy-based. It is favor. It is undeserved favor na galing sa Diyos. If God is going to save him, it is not because of his own right or in his own righteousness, in his own moral ascendancy or righteousness na kanyang sarili, but only at dahil lamang sa habag ng Diyos. Kung ating iintindihin po, the same thing sa ating kaligtasan, sa ating conversion story. Our salvation is not work-based. Our salvation is not on our own righteousness that God merits us freedom from sin and saved us. But salvation that is based in God's unfavorable mercy and grace sa bawat isa sa atin. David understands that if God will save him, it is still just. It is an all-holy act ng Panginoon. Kaya nga makikita natin ang unang daing ni David dito, be merciful to me. Lord, have favor on me. Save me according to your mercy and according to your grace. This should remind us, mga kapatid, that prayer, yes, it's a privilege, but that privilege is based on God's mercy. It is based on God's grace sa atin. Grace, mercy. That's the reason that we are able to call him Abba, Father. Grace that is extend to us sa magitan ng kanyang anak na si Jesu Cristo. Once again, David's prayer here, again, is not based on his self-entitlement. Or yung request niya is not focused sa kanyang immediate demands ng saving from his enemy. But rather, yung focus niya dito, again, is God. God's mercy. And what David sought here, in verse 1, going back to verse 1, be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for in you my soul takes refuge. David sought for God's protection. Ito yung kailangan ni David dito. And this is sound ironic, kung hindi po ba. David, if we're going to understand yung background ng Psalm 57, he is in a cave. He's hiding in the midst of a cave. And for the Old Testament, cave is called sometimes as a refuge, as a stronghold. It's a protection sa kanilang mga kaaway. In David is in a refuge. And refuge means a place of safety from dangers. And multiple times, makikita natin in 1 Samuel 20 onwards, when David was fleeing from Saul, David sought refuge sa iba't ibang kapamaraanan. He even went to approach ng refuge sa king ng Moab. Makikita natin yan in 1 Samuel 19 verse 10. In 1 Samuel 19 verse 10, that's a king of Gath. And nung nalaman ng mga taga Gath na he is David, the giant slayer, yung ginawa ni David when he felt na yung takot dahil baka patayin siya, he acted as a madman. In 1 Samuel 22 verse 3, David sought refuge for his family sa hari ng Moab. In 22, 1 to 5, and 24, verse 1, David sought refuge sa cave ng Adullam, tsaka sa Indeje. But here, we can see that he prayed, he sought for a refuge. Though he sought experience refuge sa iba't ibang lugar, yet David felt the inadequacy, the insufficiency of those strongholds and refuge na kanyang napagdaanan. We can imagine here that David in the cage praying for a greater refuge. Hindi po ba tunay ito sa atin mga kapatid? That when we are in the midst of our trials, when our hearts is troubled, yung feeling natin na hindi tayo mapakali. Yung feeling na naiisip natin, saan kaya ako pwedeng lumapit? Kung saan kaya ako pwedeng makahanap ng seguridad at protection? Mga kaibigan, saan mo ba nilalagay ang seguridad mo para sa iyong buhay? Saan mo nilalagay ang seguridad mo sa iyong kaluluha? For your soul. Who is your refuge? Ito ba ay yung masayang pamilya na meron ka? Do you take refuge sa karangyaan ng iyong buhay? Do you take refuge sa magandang trabaho na meron ka? Sa yaman? O dahil sa mabait kang tao? O marahil kasi nire-respeto ka ng maraming tao. Could it be sa drugs? Sa wrong relationships? Pornography? Okay, bigan, like David, we should view those things as insufficient. Incapable of giving us eternal security. These things that I have mentioned will fade. It will not last. Alam ni David na kung makakatakas man siya dito sa sitwasyon niya without taking refuge sa Panginoon, ay ganun pa rin yung mararamdaman niya. He would still feel unsafe, unsettled, anxious. Ito yung feeling na kahit saan ka sumuot at tumakbo, you will feel na parang hindi ka pa rin at peace. That's why David, who is in the refuge, prayed for a greater refuge for his soul. For in you, that is God, I find refuge. Naalala ko kung panahon na nag-retire na yung lolo ko, isa sa mga nakahiligan niya is yung pag-aalaga ng manok, pero yung native na manok. Meron siyang barong-barong o bahay para sa manok sa dikod ng aming bahay. At tuwing umuulan o bumabagyo, makikita ko kung paano inaalagaan ng mga inahing manok ang kanilang mga inakay o yung kanilang mga sisiw. O titingnan po natin in verse 1, David used a metaphor here or imagery para yung parang isang inahing ibon to show kung paano nagbibigay na proteksyon at kalinga ang Diyos sa kanyang mga anak. Yung sabi niya dyan, in the shadows of your wings, I take refuge till the storms of destruction pass by. Inilarawan dito ni David sa kanyang panalangin na yung intention niya in pleading for God's mercy ay hindi para makawala siya o tumakbo sa kanyang mga kaaway, but his intention is to hide under God's protection. Yes, his enemies is still lurking outside, but David viewed himself na parang tulad sa isang maliit na sisiw na nagtatago sa pakpak under the protection of God's sovereign care and love. Ay, yung combination po dito ng imagery niya na wings tsaka yung refuge is not new sa theology ni David. Makikita po ninyo ito na ginamit din in Exodus chapter 37. This is not new to David o sa mga Israelites. Marahil isa sa mga naiisip niya, yung paggamit ng metaphor na ito, is yung Ark of the Covenant. Alam po natin yung Ark of the Covenant po ano. Yung Ark of the Covenant is a piece of wood, or it's a wooden box, not a piece of wood, it's a wooden box. And on the top of that wooden box is yung, nagko-cover doon is yung wings ng angels or ng cherubim. And yung wings ng cherubim is pointing to the very center, which is yung box na yan. At yung tawag nila sa box na yan is the mercy seat of God. The mercy seat of God. At nung sa panahon na si David ay nananalangin, ito yung naiisip niya. Mercy seat, God's presence sa mercy seat na yon is naandoon. His protection. It symbolizes His protection, His presence. It symbolizes His care, a means of forgiveness when they offer. And even victory sa kanilang mga military campaign. And what David is doing here while praying, when he remember yung mercy seat na yon, David is throwing himself sa mercy seat. And Lord, this is all I need. What I need is your mercy. Until the storm of destruction passed by. And in God's goodness, mga kaibigan, we have experienced that also sa ating salvation, di ba? His mercy, His care, and His protection, we have experienced that in Christ Jesus. Try to open your Bible in John 20, verse 12. Sa New Testament, makikita natin yung image ng angels sitting or guarding, tulad sa Ark of the Covenant, guarding yung katawan ni Kristo. In John 20, verse 12, sabi niya, when she, that is Mary Magdalene, saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus has been laid. Friends, Christ's death, His burial, and His resurrection is God's ultimate display of His care for us. In His death and in His living, Jesus defeated our greatest enemy that pursues us. He defeated sin, defeated Satan, defeated death. That calls us, it tells us that we can run into His presence. Like David, we can run to Him and hide under the shadow of God's loving care. Yes, we might die. Death might consume our physical body. But we know that our spirit will live. For those who are not yet in Christ, it's a good opportunity for you to go and run to Christ, to God's mercy, to God's grace. Plead for His mercy to soften your hearts and enable you to receive Him as your Lord and Savior. David did not only focus his prayer in God to receive mercy, safety, and salvation, but also makita natin in verses 2 and 3 that David, when he prayed with God, with good theology. With good theology. And this is a good reminder for all of us, mga kaibigan, that having a good theology during the midst of the darkest moment of our life, it will help us to articulate our situation in the lenses of God's truth and His character and His sovereignty. And having a good theology, it builds our confidence ating Diyos. A good prayer is not just a bubbling prayer, an empty words, repeated words. Rather, it contains truth about God. Verse 2, it says, I cry out to God Most High, the God who fulfills His purpose for me. Paano in-address si David yung Diyos? God the Most High. Naiintindihan ni David kung sino ang kanyang nilalapitan dito. Hindi siya katulad ng Diyos-Diyosan na sinasamba ng mga Canaanites. He is not just an Elyon or Most High, which is the gods of Canaanites, but this God is far greater than their God. The God of David is the Most High God. It means that He is incomparable. He is exalted in His royal dignity and has a total control sa kanyang and total authority sa kanyang creation. It means that He is not like us. He is above. He is independent of His creation. He is transcendent. That's the theological term, transcendent. For David, this is a comforting thing, comforting truth for him, and para din po sa atin bilang mga Kristiyano, that we have a God who never changes, has no source, no beginning, and no end. And it means that we can trust Him. He is not changing. He is not like us. Kung wala tayo sa modo, ayaw din natin mag-worship. God is not like us. He has no source, for He is life. He has no beginning, for He is God. And this good theology is a good reminder po sa sarili natin. Pero makita natin dito, when we come to God, to this transcendent God, to this God, pag lumapit po tayo sa Kanya in prayer, hindi po tayo yung nagbabago sa Kanya. But when we come to Him, tayo po yung nagbabago. Does it make sense? When we come to Him, when we are troubled and we come to Him and believe that He is God, it changes our perspective, how we see things, how we understand or articulate yung ating sitwasyon. That's why David, nakikita niya dito, to God who fulfills His purpose in Him. Nakikita niya na kahit nasa gitna siya ng kanyang problema, matinding sakuna, he believes na kahit sa kanyang mga problema ay nasa loob pa rin siya ng will ng Panginoon. He's still in the will of God. Malalaanin po natin, David was anointed by God through Samuel to be the next king of Israel. But in Psalm 57, he is in the cave, isolated. He is in the lowest and darkest moment na kanyang buhay. And one temptation, when we are in the darkest and lowest point of our life, is to doubt God, to doubt His promises. Let's see how David countered ang kanyang doubt, ang kanyang fear. He countered it with good theology. He countered it with good theology. Not only that, David's theology tells him that God is most high God, that he is above and we are here. It doesn't mean that God is not involved sa buhay natin. Titingnan po natin yung verse 2, sabi niya dyan, I cry out to God most high, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. Verse 3, he will send from heaven and save me. He will put to shame him who tramples me. God is yes above, far above, but he is eminent. Meaning he is present. He will send, yung language and he will send. He will put to shame. God is still involved sa buhay natin, mga kapatid. Kahit si David, he acknowledged that even in the lowest part ng cave na yon, God is there with him. God cares for him. Notice yung basis again na kanya paniniwala dito. It is based in God's character. He's not only transcendent, he is not only immanent, but he is also the God who is steadfast in his love. Meaning, he is a covenant-keeping God. David was being anointed, maybe doubted for a while. He said, God will fulfill his purpose in me. He is a covenant-keeping God. He is faithful. The word faithful is also means truth. That he is true to his word. True to his word. Mga kaibigan, anong theology o paniniwala na meron tayo patungkol sa Diyos kung tayo ay umaharap sa mga pagsubok? Paano natin nakikita ang Diyos sa mga panahon ng ating pagsubok? The trial sometimes is a means ng Panginoon sa buhay natin to evaluate kung ano yung pagkakakilala natin sa Diyos. Friends, it's easy to have a bad theology, but false belief about God, most especially when we are in a difficult situation ng buhay natin. Di po ba? It's easy to doubt God. It's easy to build a false and wrong theology in those moments. That is why it is essential for us to arm ourselves with good theology and even make sense of it. Meaning, na hindi lang siya head knowledge, but we need to put it into practice. Why? Because good theology, what we believe about God, in God, informs our response, it informs our actions, it informs our daily living. Good theology gives us confidence to God when we are facing trials. It kills doubts, it kills fears, it kills anxiety, it kills worries. Practical recommendation, sit under the faithful preaching of God's word. Attend classes. Every Sunday, meron po tayong classes dito. Equipping classes. Take advantage of that. If you are not a member yet, join a healthy church, kahit hindi dito sa amin. It is good for your soul. If you are a member here, a regular attendee, engage, read your Bible. That is the main source ng ating buhay, ng ating theology. It's God's word. Friends, how much do you know about your God? How much do you know about your God? In verse 4, despite of taking refuge to God, makita natin dito that David still in his problem. He's still facing great danger. Makita natin in verse 4, if we're going to read, verse 4, my soul is in the midst of lions. I lie down amid fiery beasts, the children of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongue are sharp swords. David is a shepherd. David is commander of 1,000 soldiers. That David described his enemies as predators, as pack of lions, fiery beast who seeks to tear him into pieces. Nakikita natin dito yung attack sa kanya, sharp sword, spears, arrows. It symbolizes yung verbal, destructive attacks na kanyang makaaway. Kung sa Hebrew literary, yung sunod-sunod po dito na pagkakamention na spears, arrows, sharp swords. Spears, arrows, sharp swords forms or creates a tempo. O tinatawag nila na alliterative effects. Parang napapainda ka. It gives a tempo. Parang ganun po yung feeling ni David dito. Meaning, pinapakita din dito that his enemy delights in doing itong evil works na ito sa kanya. Yet, in the midst of this rhythmic attack, David finds refuge in God's presence. Perhaps ganito din po yung nararamdaman natin ngayon. O baka nandito din tayo sa sitwasyon na ito. Friends, again, find refuge in God. Pray. Pray. As prayer calms our soul. And this is important, mga kaibigan. Because it only reminds us, whether Kristiyano ka man o hindi, one sure thing na mangyayari po sa atin ay dadaan tayo, just like David, into a cave-like moment sa mga buhay natin. We'll be in the deepest, in the darkest moment ng buhay ninyo. Ng buhay natin. And this is a good reminder for us. When we are in that situation, we will be in that situation, we can take refuge sa ating Panginoon. This is why James so confident sa James 1:2 saying that to count it all joy when you face trials. James is not saying na trials is masaya. To be undergo sa trials is masaya. But what James is saying here, because we have the privilege to respond in trials with trust and dependence sa ating Diyos, to grow in taking refuge sa Kanya. Verse 5, while David was still in the middle of describing ng kanyang mga kaaway, David instantly cuts it. Makikita po ninyo dyan. In verse 5, sinasabi dyan, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Let your glory. Despite of his current situation, David finds God as the most important sa kanyang buhay. God is more important sa kanyang sitwasyon. More important sa kanyang mga pinagdadaanan. In that moment, he exalted God. He raised him. He viewed him as worthy na kanyang pagsamba. His full attention. It's like saying, Lord, whatever becomes of me in my interest, be exalted. Let your glory be displayed in my life. Kasi alam ni David, whatever happens to him, he is secured in the loving hands of God. And this is unusual po, ano? Kung isipin na natin. It's unusual kasi kung tayo ay nagsisimula na mag-pray at nakapagsimula tayo na mag-mention ng ating mga problema o mga request natin, usually ay dire-diretso na tayo. But David is reminding himself of God and starts worship Him. But there is a far better man, a God man, who displayed his trust and submitted to his Father's sovereign will when was troubled and contemplating sa oras sa palapit ng kanyang pagkamatay. In John 12:27-28, sabi niya, for what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came to heaven. I have glorified it and I will glorify it again. Jesus, when he was troubled, trusted the will of his Father. He endured the idea of death, even the death on the cross. And like David, because of that truth, our proper response should be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Now, in verses 6 to 11, after David realized and experienced all those things, David gained a new perspective sa kanyang situation. He will move from pleading for mercy / worship to pure worship. Ito yung makikita natin, yung 6 to 11. It's pure worship. Point number 2, let your heart be steadfast in God through faith and worship. Note, again, that at this point, David is still in the midst of problem. Still no relief, no physical salvation received from God, still in the cave, hiding from Saul and his 3,000 armies. Ngunit dito, makikita natin that David's heart, his spirit, is at the highest point of worship. Dahil sa inner transformation na kanyang natanggap sa Panginoon. In verse 6, mababasahin po natin, it seems he let down. Titingnan natin. He described his enemies in verse 4. Then he transitioned to worshiping God. Again in verse 6, he described his enemy again. Says here, they set a net for my steps. My soul was bowed down. They dug a pit in my way, but they have fallen into themselves. David used yung language dito ng hunting. He viewed his enemies bilang mga hunters who traps para mahuli ang kanilang target. And David is the target here. Net and pit suggest na ginagawa nila yung lahat nilang makakaya para mahuli or even to exhaust David. For example, in 1 Samuel 22, David used, or si Saul, used a great amount of reward to punish and to murder yung mga Levites na kumampi kay David. Saul even used his children, si Michal, which is yung asawa ni David, and si Jonathan, who is David's best friend, against him. But yet was David, or Saul, was unsuccessful. In verse 6, makikita natin that David admitted that he was bowed down. Nasaktan siya dahil sa ginawa ng kanyang kaaway. Perhaps, nanghina yung kanyang loob. And his enemies almost succeeded. Ngunit, that again, notice yung literary construction ng verse 6. Makikita po ninyo yung verb there na set, dug, bowed down. It's all in the perfect form or past tense. What David is saying here na, Lord, it's all in the past. Now that I know, I preach to myself, I know that you are a transcendent, immanent God, he gained that new found faith sa Panginoon. His heart, in verse 7, when he prayed, my heart is steadfast, O God, my heart is steadfast. Same language. Kung sa verse 1, merciful, merciful. Here, steadfast. Same language may kita natin sa verse 3. That God will send out His steadfast love and His faithfulness. Here, steadfast means to be firm, unmoved, unswivering. Unswivering. It means that he is secured in God. And yung repetition dito affirms na, yeah, indeed, David's heart is secured sa Panginoon. At dahil sa dakilang ginawa ng Diyos sa buhay ni David, he vows to worship God. And notice, in verses 8 and 9, yung sunod-sunod na command sa ginawa niya dito. Sabi niya, awake, my glory, awake, O harp and lyre. I will awake the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples, I will sing praises to you among the nations. Dahil sa mas malalim, renewed faith, found faith ni David, yung confidence niya ay nasa Panginoon na. He vows to worship God intellectually. Sabi niya, awake my glory. Glory refers to mind. Because he learned that God is transcendent, he is immanent, that he can take refuge in God, he will worship God intellectually. David's basis in worshiping God is the truth about God. Because he understands that God is God, then he will worship him. Makikita po natin his worship in verse 8, awake my glory, is not based in emotion or shallow emotions. Kung sinasabi natin kung kailan lang siya masaya, o kung malungkot siya, ay hindi rin siya magsasamba sa Diyos. His worship is not based in emotions or based sa malungkot na tugtog ng kanta. No. Again, his worship is based in God himself. He intellectually knows who God is. That is why he worships him. And his intellect, what he knows about God, informs his emotion. Kaya dito sa Crossroads, when we choose songs that we sing, we highlight and we choose songs that highlights God's character. We choose songs that highlights the gospel, songs that is biblically founded. And we don't just sing, but we want to sing intellectually. And as we sing, we remind one another of who God is. We remind one another of God's character, of what he has done sa mga buhay natin. And we want to sing good theological songs. Not only in singing, kung mapapansin ninyo. Even in our preaching, in praying, even in the ordinances that we practice, we want it all to be gospel saturated. All these songs, all these practices generates proper emotions. David also vows hindi lang to play or to worship God intellectually, but he also vows to use his skills in worshiping God. O harp, awake, O harp and lyre. Imagine David is in the cave, but he's imagining himself, hey, harp and lyre, go. Come on, we will worship God. He vows that he will use yung kanyang talents. He even vows to worship God daily. I will awake the dawn. David is excited para bukas. Yung personification na gamit niya. Dawn, come on. Wake up. We will worship God. That's how excited. This is how renew David's faith sa mga panahon na ito. In the midst of trouble. Why, Began? Do we have that kind of excitement? Even not in the midst of our trouble. Do we have that kind of excitement to go and worship God every Sunday with God's people? Do we have that kind of excitement to wake up early in the morning and commune with God in prayer and His word? In verse 9, David not only vows to worship God secretly in the cave, but he looks forward to singing songs of praise in the midst of peoples and nations. He longs that even Gentiles will sing praises with him to God. Look, because of the descendant of David, Jesus Christ, our Savior, we are here today, you and I. He is the perfect descendant of David, a God-man who welcomes us by His grace, by His mercy, to His kingdom. Friends, as we go out to that door later, let the song of salvation echoes in the places na mamapupuntahan natin. What I mean is, continue to share Christ. Let your life, let your testimony, let the gospel that you have be a means for others to hear God's work of salvation. Hindi lang sa buhay natin, but in Christ Jesus. Why should we do this? Why did David is firm in his faith and worship in the midst of trials? Sa cave na yon? Look at verse 10. For your steadfast love is great to heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. You can see that David provides the same basis. Yung basis ng kanyang confidence sa Panginoon, yung covenant-keeping love ng Panginoon, and his faithfulness is the same basis ng ni David sa kanyang pag-worship sa Diyos. A high view of God leads to worship. This is the reason why we should put our confidence in God. And this is also the exact reason why we should worship Him. In verse 11, David ends with the same refrain in verse 5. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Pero yung kaibahan lang, in verse 5, if yung verse 5 functions as yung plea niya, and yung response niya sa deliverance sa Panginoon, here, in verse 11, functions as affirmation sa kanyang naranasan. And that came. He was renewed. His faith was renewed. And this is an affirmation. David is declaring, worshiping God in that moment. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over the earth. My kaibigan, if you struggle to find reason to trust God in the midst of greatest conflict ng buhay mo, in the midst of doubt, in the midst of trials, and the storm of life, friends, remind yourself of God's steadfast love and faithfulness. Run to Him in prayer, plead for mercy, preach to yourself with good doctrines, and worship God. Worship God. Know that you can trust Him. If you are not a Christian at nandito ka ngayon, kaibigan, know that time will come that you will be in the darkest moment sa buhay mo. Or perhaps you are already in the darkest moment ng buhay mo. Perhaps in the past few months, weeks, or days, kaibigan, you don't want to face it again alone. Run to Christ. Run to Christ. But most importantly, you don't want to face the greatest storm of destruction that is about to come. That is when He will return as a judge. When I tell you, on that day, you will not be able to stand, you will not be able to survive ang wrath ng Panginoon sa araw na yan. God will bring you down to your face. He will bow you down and will cast you down into an eternal pit where great storms of pain will not be put to end. That place is hell. Christ is the only one who can save you in that pit. He alone can save you from God's wrath. Run to Christ. Take refuge in Him. Receive mercy and grace ang gagaling sa Kanya. So that on that day, when He returns, you will not be distracted, but you will take refuge. You can take refuge in His wings. And you can join God's people in singing praises, in singing worship in His eternal kingdom. Again, in life's greatest conflicts, take refuge in God's steadfast love and faithfulness through faith, prayer, and worship. Let us pray. O Lord, be merciful to us. We plead for your steadfast love and for covenantal love and faithfulness in us through Christ Jesus, that you will continue to hide us in your loving arms under your protection. Lord, we pray and plead to you for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are struggling in their physical and even in their faith, that you would help them find joy, comfort, and confidence in your word and in the work of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. May we as a church continue to live for the glory and honor of our God. Amen.